The Israel Report with Rolien Marks.
Good afternoon, Rolien. How are you?
I'm good, and you, sir?
I am superbly well, thank you, and all the better for talking to you, although you used language today that needs explaining, please. The IDF puts the kibosh, don't know what that means, on the catfishing, not so sure what that is either.
I hear Kathy giggling.
Hello, Ro. I'm here.
Hello, Kath.
Okay, so
let's take out the dodgy kind of language with kibosh and catfish and all things related. So basically what has happened is in an operation which has been called Operation Rebound, the IDF announced that it has stopped a major cyber campaign by Hamas to try and collect information from IDF personnel. So how have they done it? They've used what, so that's the putting the kibosh part. So let's deal with the catfishing part, and I promise you no real catfish were harmed in this report or the compiling of this report, but what Hamas have been doing is that they have been trying to infect the mobile devices, phones, iPads, whatever, of IDF soldiers by trying to spread malware. And how they've done this is they've tried using flirtatious women, or having what appears to be flirtatious women trying to make friends with soldiers via different media platforms like Facebook, Instagram, WhatsApp, Telegram, and various others. So what these women supposedly did, you know, these women, and I say it in inverted commas because it could be a Hamas operative behind a computer somewhere in the Gaza Strip, is that they said that, you know, they knew immigrants, they're trying to, you know, they don't have command of the Hebrew language. Some of them pretended to be deaf or hard of hearing to try and avoid the soldiers from speaking directly to them. And they said, you know, if the soldiers wanted to see more, you know, maybe they need to try an app that apparently is very similar to Snapchat, and they have to download this, and if they downloaded this, they would see some naughty pictures of the said woman that they are talking to. But they proved to be no match for our super cyber sleuthing. And yes, I practice saying that all afternoon.
Good, really.
So these catfish were caught, and it was discovered that if these cyber attacks from Hamas Assad were successful, what it would do is that it would immediately send a link to their servers, and the information pertaining to the soldiers, and very important information, not just their personal details, but also their GPS location. So a Hamas terrorist would know exactly where these soldiers were at all times, and of course this would make them extremely vulnerable to some kind of terror attack. But our cyber guys were onto that, and what they did was they put in a counter strike that would shut the app down the minute it tried to infiltrate our soldiers.
That's so interesting.
It's just a reminder to me, and I think to many, that we take for granted all these social media apps, but in essence, they can sometimes prove to be very, very dangerous.
Absolutely, Rolien. It's so interesting. I saw, I think it was during Israel's last operation, somebody had posted, someone who had a picture of, you know, he looked like a religious Jewish guy, and he said, you know, we want to send out $100 to every lone soldier. Please tag a lone soldier.
Oh, wow.
In the reply. And my first reaction, and I don't know why I had that reaction, I mean, hundreds and hundreds, if not thousands of people had responded to that and tagged lone soldiers. And my response was, I messaged the guy and I said, please, this is, you know, this is the security of all these soldiers, and please delete the post. And you know, he refused to do it. And I actually still think that there's something very suspect about him. But it's so, like, how do you even monitor this? And how does any army monitor?
This is where it does get tricky. It gets tricky because you know what? We all want to help our soldiers. We all want to raise awareness of what's happening in Israel. And unfortunately, this also comes with a flip side. This also comes with extreme security risks. You will notice that the Home Front Command actually discouraged too many people downloading the Tseva Adom app. You know, we don't want people reporting, because everybody on social media is an armchair general reporter, citizen journalist. And it's not done with malicious intent. People want to spread awareness. So I think, you know, before we spread things, I think we have to be very, very smart consumers and ask ourselves, is this potentially harmful to anyone? Is it harmful to a soldier? Also, the sharing of pictures of soldiers in uniforms. I know we're all proud if we have children, if we have family members, if we have friends who are serving in the IDF, but sometimes posting their pictures is not good for their safety. So I would encourage people to really, really think twice before doing anything like that. And be careful of engaging on social media, who you're talking to, what kind of questions they're asking you, what kind of apps that they are using. I think we all have to be super smart that way. You know, we can all be cyber protectors and help protect each other from potential harm that is done on the internet.
Rolene, I want to move on because we're running a bit short of time, and I want you to address the question of whether the EU is going to recognize a Palestinian state.
Well, it looks like Luxembourg, which is a teeny tiny country in Europe, they, in response to the Trump peace plan, they say that it is extremely biased in favor of Israel. They want to put forward a resolution at the European Union Parliament to try and get enough countries to recognize a Palestinian state. I don't know how they intend to do this because there are so many issues on the ground, you know, Israel notwithstanding, that are reasons why we have these kind of complexities. So they've been speaking to countries like Finland, like Sweden, like Moldova, Portugal, Belgium, others to try and put this resolution through. So this is one we're going to have to watch carefully and see how that progresses.
Rolene, what would that change if they did? If the EU had to recognize a Palestinian state, what would that change?
Well, the question is, okay, so you recognize a Palestinian state, that's fantastic, but what kind of checks and balances, you know, where are the borders, what is the capital? You can't just recognize a state. You've got to, you know, the reason why the Palestinians don't have a state is because they don't have the infrastructure, the jurisdiction, the necessary social strata in place to build a state. And that is why the Trump administration in its peace plan have said you've got 4 years to prepare yourselves for a state. And preparing doesn't just necessarily mean, okay, cool, we recognize Israel, let's tango. It means that you've got to have a judicial system. You've got to have the proper checks and balances. You've got to have, if you decide to or not, a constitution. All these things are important when it comes to building a state. You've got to have the foundations before you can have a country.
Rolene, I thought there was a connection perhaps between this and the ICC's, the defense raised by Israel and a number of European countries saying that Palestine is not a state and therefore they don't have jurisdiction. And I was wondering whether the Luxembourg resolution was related to that in any way. You know, that's the defense you're raising. Fine, so we'll give them a state.
Then it's not related to the ICC issue. In fact, there are now countries in Europe, Hungary, Czech Republic, and Germany, who are saying that we stand with Israel, that the ICC have no jurisdiction over the Palestinians because there is no state.
I'm not sure which of those countries surprises me more. Okay, thank you so much, Rolene. And, yeah, we will speak tomorrow.
Same time, guys. You know we have a date.